You see, we got a left-hander and a right-hander warming up. They're going to pitch the game here in a minute. Okay, you guys can come down. Be careful right there. It's good to see Keith and his wife here this morning. They're playing hooky. Hallelujah. Well, you may be seated in the congregation. Turn with me to the book of Exodus. I wish I had the music. But this is the book of Exodus. Hallelujah. If you need a Bible, the brothers have them. How many enjoyed Brother Barclay? Oh, that was so weak. Boy, I thought he was powerful.
Amen. Amen.
That's the first time I've seen him move that much in the Holy Ghost in a long time.
Praise God.
Which really blessed me. Hallelujah. He's a Holy Ghost man, always has been. His church is a Holy Ghost church. We've had some of the most phenomenal meetings I've ever been in. In the early days at Brother Barclay's, we had Janie Grime get glued to the wall face first. And the anointing kind of wane on her, and she starts sliding down the wall, and then all of a sudden the anointing come back. So the wall was full of lipstick. Because she was pressed right to the wall. And that same night, the piano played with nobody at it. Beautiful.
Praise you, Jesus.
Nobody was there.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Outside, there was a blizzard going on.
Praise you, Jesus.
And the governor of Michigan told everybody to stay home. The place was packed to the walls. Amen.
Praise you,
Jesus.
Amen. Praise you, Jesus.
Nowadays, you know, if we get a rainstorm, we miss half the church.
Amen.
But back in those days, we might have been a little more hungry than we are right now. Following after God. My wife and I, when we first got around Holy Ghost stuff, we used to drive 3-4 hours on Sunday to find a Holy Ghost church.
Amen.
We'd go to another state. Meet in a barn. I mean, I'm literally a barn.
Praise God.
Because most churches had rejected the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And now here we are 30, 40 years later, and most churches are rejecting the Holy Ghost again.
Yes.
Including word churches.
Yes, yes. Mercy, mercy, mercy.
But I'll tell you, there's a Trinity.
Amen.
There's the Father, there's the Son, and there's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And we live in the dispensation, I don't like that word. We live in the period of the Holy Spirit reigning and ruling here on the earth through the believer.
Amen. Amen.
Did you get that?
Amen.
Through the believer.
Yes.
And praise God. Everybody say Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
Raise your hands up and just thank God for the Holy Ghost. Sikarabusotorabasakata. Ikatorabusiketarabusiketarabasandaraba. Landodabasata. Somebody here has been having quite a bit of trouble with headaches. You've had lots and lots and lots of headaches. Who is this? Come on. Headaches. Headaches. Take your glasses off, will you? Father, I release, wait, stay with me. I release you from these headaches in Jesus' name. Step up here, madam. Can you? Guess not. I release you from that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take your glasses off if you don't mind. I release you from those headaches. Go. Okay, man of God, no more. No more headaches. I release you from them in Jesus' name. I said in Jesus' name. I said in Jesus' name. We're going to see the manifestation of the healing power like never before. The summer months will be months of glory, for the healing power will be among us. And there will be days that we'll not be able to preach because of the healing power being so strong that all we can do is heal the sick and sing a nice new song. So get ready for change and things like that, because God's moving by His Spirit and things are being restored that have been lost, and new things are coming that you've never seen before. So get ready, get ready, get ready, because in the days that lie ahead, you're going to see fresh and wonderful things, says the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Come on, give Him praise, give Him praise, give Him praise, give Him praise. He alone is worthy of praise. He alone, He alone. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 12. And we'll look at verse 13. Well, we'll start with 12. Exodus 12:12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will exercise judgment. I am the Lord. Now let's understand, this is old covenant. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. God is about to bring judgment to a land. Somehow he has to save his own people. The Israelites had been slaves, but God was freeing them. And so God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So for years, we as Pentecostal, full gospel people have taken scriptures like that and used them as scriptures like this. We've turned them into, we plead the blood, or we cover ourselves in the blood. I'm convinced, and I wrote down at the top of my page, Satan hates the cross, the blood, and the resurrection. If he can eliminate any or all of those things, he eliminates the dunamis power of God in people's thinking.
Amen.
Sure wish I had a better amen.
Amen.
Why? Because you take the cross out of our lives, there is no salvation. How did we get saved? When Jesus died on a cross. But I mentioned the other night, all over America, we've eliminated the cross. You can't put it in the city park. People get mad at Christmas if you have a nativity scene. Anything to do with God, religion. But basically, for the last 20, 30 years, there's been a real effort to eliminate the cross.
Amen.
Now, you can show the half moon and somebody else's religion, nobody says nothing. But if it's a cross, somebody's mad.
That's right.
Out in California, where we used to be, there was a big cross on a mountain. Yep. And they're fighting it like crazy to take it down. Not hurting anybody, doesn't hurt. I mean, just it's there, but it's a cross. Yeah. And it reminds people,
amen.
Come on, of their spiritual state.
Amen.
When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Everybody say, thank God for the blood. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Glory to God. Now, keep in your thinking, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Think about it. That night in Egypt, little mother puts her little baby down, but the daddy, talking about the Israelites, slays a lamb, takes its blood, puts it on the top of the door and on both sides, so that when the death angel comes, he sees the blood and passes over them. I like to say this, to add here, you tithers ought to see what did not happen to you this week. Because the same principles are there. Obedience to God and God's word brings blessing. Disobedience opens you to the curse. Come on. Don't get mad at me because I said something like that. No. See, we open ourselves.
Yes, that's right.
How? By disobedience.
That's right.
Now, I don't care, back in that day, if you was a Jewish mother and the husband didn't put the blood on the doorpost, your first baby's dead.
That's right.
Why? Because of disobedience.
Right.
Still here?
Amen.
Now, in Corinthians, starting with chapter 1, verse 10. Chapter 1, verse 10. Now, I plead with you, brethren. Now, can I just stop right here? God's not talking to a sinner.
Amen.
God's talking to the brethren and the sistren.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. When people are married for a long time, like us and your pastors and others, we begin to think pretty much in unison. You understand what I'm saying? We're together so much, we talk so much that, you know, you got nothing to prove anymore. Nothing works like it used to. And so you come together in unity because it just isn't worth fighting over. I'm not talking about being wimpy or meek. I'm just talking about you just start flowing together.
Right. Yeah.
And what you used to think was important is not important anymore.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yep.
So life becomes really good and simple and blessed.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Amen.
Unless one of the people is rebellious. And if they have a rebellious nature, then they fight everything you say. So they've not learned to have the same mind and the same judgment.
Amen.
Now, what's the date a week from today?
13th.
13th? Does that sound right?
Yes.
Okay. If Bill says it's 13th, it's 13th. Okay. What if, Wayne, everybody that comes in this room said the same thing, had the same mind and the same judgment?
Glory. Hallelujah.
Couldn't stop
it. Well, the first thing I'd think about, God might come and rapture us before we change our mind. But think about it. Think of the power there would be. And I'm not talking about just some silly, foolish thing. I'm talking about we got in total, perfect unity, all speaking the same thing, all washed in the blood. No demon, no sickness, nothing can stop us.
Amen.
But the problem is, we seem to come into the house with our own agendas or our own problems. Come on now.
Amen.
But if we can shed all that, which, by the way, if we all got into unity, those would all disappear like that.
Amen.
Because there'd be such power among us, and the prophetic words would be so accurate to your situation.
Yep.
And when the prophetic word come, it wasn't criticized. I didn't say judged, criticized. You see, the older I get, the bigger my dream is that I'm going to see that in my lifetime.
Yes.
Somewhere, someplace.
That's right. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, one of the successes of the user-friendly churches is they have made up their mind to get an agreement to shun certain things.
That's right. Amen.
Come on. Not to put any pressure on the people, not to worry about offerings, blah, 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 all this stuff. They've gotten into unity over certain things that are not biblical things, but because they're in unity, it's working for them. Because no matter which side of the cross you're on, if you get into unity, you're going to have power.
That's where the power is.
It's where the power is. Pretty good stuff.
Amen.
Verse 11 says, "For it's been declared unto me concerning you, my brethren, that those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you." That word contention, there's problems among you.
Amen.
Now I say this, verse 12, "Each of you say, I'm of Paul, or I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Cephas, or I'm of Christ. Was Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Come on. You see, I hear words like this. Well, I love my pastor, but I love Joseph Prince. And I wouldn't miss his program for nothing, but you'll miss church. But see, I'm not of Joseph Prince, and I'm not even of the pastor. I'm of Christ. Because he's the one who is the center point of everything we're doing. Come on. Why? Because sooner or later, I, him, or Joseph Prince, or whoever else I could mention, going to let you down. Because we're men. And we're not perfect. You could have said something right there. You could have said. But anyway, obviously that's not going to happen. You still with me? See, Christ is the center unifying being that brings us together, not as church members, but as the family of God, or the ecclesia, or called out of, come on. And the head is not the pastor, the apostle. The head is Christ. And he has given us weapons called the blood. And when he sees the blood, Satan has to pass over you. He has to pass over you. He cannot cross the bloodline. Now he can cross my bloodline. But not Christ's bloodline. Because his blood is precious, holy blood. Thank God for the blood. So the blood and Jesus becomes the center focus point, not what we think or want. Now, I saw they painted that blue. I guarantee you some of you don't like it. But in the light of eternity, I can guarantee this. So what? What's it going to change? Nothing. Some, you know, that's why the cars are all different colors in the parking lot. I personally like white cars. A lot of people up here evidently like black cars because that's all they got at the dealership, seems like, is black cars. But this blood issue has so much power in it that if we ever get a hold of this thing, I'm telling you, we will speak the blood over something and it'll change. It's not lost its power. It reaches to the lowest valley and it reaches to the highest mountain. Oh, the blood. The blood. It gives me strength.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, I don't like this teaching about the blood because it's so bloody. You're absolutely right. Now look at verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words, wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing. But to us, come on. But to us, try this side over here. But to us, watch. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Take the cross out. You've got to earn your salvation somehow. Take the blood away. You've got to earn somehow your own way to be saved. But through the cross and the blood, you have to do nothing but believe. God can't make it any simpler.
Yes. No. Amen. Amen. Amen.
See, if we were born again people today, my God.
Come on, Jesus.
What kind of power would you have knowing that it's backed up by the cross of Calvary, by the blood of the Lamb? By the blood of a spotless, perfect Lamb of God. Come on, raise your hands and thank Him for the blood. Thank Him for the cross. For the message of the cross is foolishness. That's why everybody out there in that world wants to get rid of it. It's foolishness to them. But to us, brother, that's my hope. That's my salvation. That's my ticket to heaven. Now look at chapter 2, 1 Corinthians. Oh, hallelujah. Now I, brethren, verse 1, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And Him crucified.
Amen.
We not only serve a risen Savior, but we also serve a crucified Savior. Because he had to be crucified before he was the Savior.
That's right. That's right.
Now, in God's eyes, he was always the Savior.
Amen.
But he had to go through the physical manifestations of crucifixion, of being scourged. To provide everything we need for life and godliness and, hold on, and an eternal future.
Amen.
I'm wonderfully saved today.
Amen.
It don't matter what you think about me, I'm telling you, I've been washed in the blood. I have met a risen Savior who was crucified, who had no sin, but took on my sin and made me sinless.
Amen.
And you're the same.
Amen. 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 Glory. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory.
Some of you are getting it. Some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy. But I'm not crazy. I determined to know. See, Brother Barclay comes here. We didn't spend the entire day before he got up to speak talking about you guys. Quit thinking you're that important. I'm sorry, we just didn't talk about you. Most of the time we talked about the good old days and all the fun we've had and all the, anyway. You understand? But then a prophetic word comes and people walk out and say, well, I'm sure Pastor Wayne told him that. No, he didn't. He didn't come with fancy words. We came with the gospel. Amen. Amen. See, that second dose was better than the first one. Tell her that when she wakes up. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. I got up this morning. The first words I said to my wife, I said, I ain't going. And I was joking, you know that. But you know what was really in my heart? What am I going to say? After all these years of ministry, going on 54 years and four more days, what am I going to say? I got to face a whole crowd of people this morning and have the word of God for them. I ask God never to lose that.
That's right. That's right.
I never want to get to the point where I can just get up and blab something. See, that was the key to Paul's ministry, was that he would come with fear and trembling in much weakness. He wasn't a big shot. I listen to some of these young lion preachers that are, you know, they're so full of stinking pride that I can't listen to them. Just because they're big. Big don't mean nothing. There's rock stars draw more than them. What counts is the gospel, is the blood, are these things being taught so people have something structurally to live and stand on so they can live a life of victorious living on this earth until Jesus comes. That's what this thing's all about. It's not about you. I'm sorry. It's just not about me or you. It's all about Him and Him providing what we need to live a victorious life. Glory to God. Verse 4, but my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, let me stop here. Let me show you something. Here's a problem. When we eliminate the Spirit, I could have come here several years ago and said to this couple, now, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get rid of the Holy Ghost, and we'll just preach nice little 20-minute little sermonettes, and we'll raise up a bunch of little Christianettes. Come on, that's exactly what you have. Not strong people, weak people. We'll not talk about money. And I'll tell you, this place would have packed out and still could. But Paul came to preach the gospel.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
The bloody gospel. The crucifixion gospel. It cost him everything, and it cost you nothing.
Amen.
But to believe.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah, we know all that. Oh, I guess I must as well go sit down then. If you know all that, then you must be totally healed. You must have every bill paid. You must have a big bank account. So why don't you put a little more money on the roof?
Amen, brother. Amen.
At this rate, you'll need to replace the whole building before you ever get enough money to get the roof, because the roof will cave in. Well, anyway, praise the Lord. But but demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So if you got a demonstration of the Spirit, then it must have some power in it. And if you got power, it must be a demonstration of the Spirit. Mary Bell said to me last night, she says, you didn't move in the Holy Ghost after, or yesterday that morning. You didn't move in the Holy Ghost. And you know what I said to her? I didn't have anything. I can't make it up. I'm not going to get around familiar spirits. Come on, and make it up just because I know how to do that.
No,
amen. No.
Amen.
I want it genuine. I go home and think about these words I give you.
Yes.
Don't just flab them off. I think about them afterwards.
Amen.
Say, my God, I hope that's right. Why? Because this is the kingdom. This is not the bar down the street. This is not school. This is the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God. It's got to be right. It's got to be right.
That's right. Yes.
Hallelujah. Wow. Verse 5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Amen. Amen.
The power of God. Now, Revelation chapter 5. This okay so far? Can I read a little bit of this? Chapter 5, verse 1, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back sealed with seven seals. This is Revelation 5, 1. Then I saw a strong angel. Let's stop right there. What kind of an angel?
Strong.
One time I was at a church and was preaching real good. A lady told me afterwards, she said, Brother Lemon, she said, every time you got preaching real good, this big angel would lean over and talk into your ear. I went and asked the pastor, this lady nuts? He said, no, she's one of the most spiritual ladies we got. She prays all the time. She's got discerning of spirits. She could see in the spirit realm. Come on. Everybody strong, say strong angel. God doesn't have any weak angels.
Amen.
Wow. A strong angel proclaimed with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals. And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. One of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. You know who that is? That's Jesus the King, the Lion of Judah. Come on. The root of David. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne were four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat upon the throne. You know, we're just getting a little glimpse of heaven.
Amen.
Just getting a little glimpse of what it's like up there. It's so magnificent. It's so beyond our thinking. It's so beyond what we can comprehend. It's so beyond our imaginations. It's so beyond everything, because our God is beyond anything you can ask or think or even imagine. It's not about coming to church. It's about worship and praise and faith and honor and loving one another and becoming a family and caring that this guy was out of work for several months.
Amen.
And caring that this maybe somebody's sick. Come on.
Amen.
Not, oh, that's too bad. Or I'll whisper a prayer. Don't whisper a prayer. Plead the blood.
Amen.
You've got bloody weapons.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Wow.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now this gets good. You are worthy to... Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 8. And when he had taken the scroll for Limitania, and the four elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowl of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Huh, that's interesting. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nations. You have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, now why'd you sing that? Because we ought to be singing the scriptures. Like it or not, there's an anointing on the scriptures. And we used to sing the scriptures. But now we sing la, 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 la. Woo, woo, woo. Come on.
Amen.
They sang a new song. Nobody had ever heard that song before. Are you getting it? Worthy to take the scroll and to open it. Jesus is worthy, for you were slain and has redeemed us. Now watch this. To God by your blood. How are you redeemed to God? By his blood. Never forget that. You didn't earn it. You're not good enough. I'm not good enough. But his blood was perfect blood. But his blood, Wayne, had no sin in it. His blood. Now watch, was the blood of the one who sent him. Oh, how do you know that? Because the blood of the baby is always from the Father. Medical science will tell you that.
Yeah.
Blood doesn't come from the mother, it comes from the Father. And God sent his own Son and said, shed my blood so my people can be free.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Come on, let's give him praise.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on, give him praise. Give him praise that he's redeemed you by blood. How many of you ever heard the Handel's Messiah? That man had to know God.
Yes.
He wrote a song, part of it goes, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And goes on to talk about the redemption of all mankind through the blood. God, through the generations, raised up men and women to teach and to preach on the blood.
Amen.
Thank God for the blood. Verse 11, and I looked and I heard this voice. Now watch this. I heard the voice of many angels. Oh. I heard the voice of many angels. I heard one voice of many angels. There is no confusion in glory. It's here. In glory, when the angels sing, it's not many voices, it's one voice of many angels. There's unity in heaven, and it's coming to the church. You mark my word, preacher, before the end of this year, we're going to have manifestations of us coming in here so unified that you will not be able to speak. Well, how can you say such a thing? Because I hear it in my spirit. We ain't seen nothing yet. Well, it'll mess up our service. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not just saying here, I'm saying everywhere. Most services are nothing but cookie cutters of the last service. And I understand that because you can't make it happen unless it happens. But you watch when we get into unity and we get talking about the blood and we get talking about the cross, we're going to have manifestation. Bring it on, Jesus. Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on. Hallelujah. I looked and I heard the voice of many. Yeah, I never saw that before. That's really good. Of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands, saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. No, it wasn't like that. With a loud voice. Can you imagine what it sounds like when 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands, all in perfect unity? I may have to lay down here in a minute. Perfect unity, saying the same thing, having the same mind, having the same judgment. I'm telling you, all heaven will break loose. We were in a service years ago, and we were singing. I don't remember the song. We got it on tape. And suddenly we heard a mass choir. Everybody began to look around. Thought maybe in the balcony there was a choir or something that came in. Heaven joined us. It was the most awesome thing you ever heard in your life. It was total harmony. And heaven, angelic host. And in that same service, the pastor had all the elders sitting on the platform, and all of them had done hard time. And now we're saved serving God. And the wind came out of the balcony and came across the congregation, and people got slain in the spirit, and then it hit them guys and tipped them in their chairs right over. Worthy is the Lamb. that were slain. Dear God, friends, I'm ready for that stuff. Yeah, Brother Lemmy, you won't get to preach. It's okay. It's okay. God came. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessings. And to every creature that was in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such that were in the sea and all that were in them, I heard them saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever. Hallelujah. Can't you see it? Then the four living creatures said, amen. That was the Baptist guys. And the 24 elders fell down and were, and I'm not knocking the Baptist, God bless them. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Last scripture, Revelation chapter 12. Verse 10, Revelation 12. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven. You notice everything in heaven is loud?
Yes.
It's not because they're deaf. Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Now wait a minute. It's a very important thing right there. And the power of his Christ. Jesus is the Christ of God. Let me give you another definition. What that means is simply this. He's the anointed one of God. Now let me take it one more step. We're in the Christ of God, and he's the anointed of God. And because we're in the Christ of God, you are the anointed of God. I don't care what anybody says, that's who you are. For the accuser of our brethren who accuses them before God day and night has been cast down. So where's Satan?
Cast down.
Cast down under your feet.
Amen.
He's not your problem. To be very honest with you, two things are your problem, your mouth and your flesh. Same problem I got. My mouth and my flesh. First thing you know, I'm blabbing away and I'm thinking, what in the world am I saying? That's not the word. Come on.
Amen.
And they overcame him.
Yes.
How?
Blood.
Oh, no. I lost you on the last verse. They overcame him. How?
By the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death.
Amen.
Won't you stand to your feet?